Hey guys, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. I want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you, and maybe you've joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony or just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you'll find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, grow in your marriage, and grow in your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. He said, Joe, you got a problem solved. So I got an empty coffee cup out of the back floorboard, a piece of paper, and had them write their name, fold it up. So I got six names, six people. Nasty cop, shook it up, said, draw a name out. What are we doing? Shut up, I'll show you. Draw a name out. Corey was first, I think Sarah was second. And he had John, my boy, he was number six. And he opened it up and he said, I'm number six. He said, what's that mean? That means you're not going to eat Cocoa Puffs for a month and a half. So Corey bought Cheerios. She loves Cheerios. Not even the flavor of Honey Nut, just plain skinky Cheerios. So we're checking out in the line. She's got her Cheerios. She's so happy. And two of my kids are mad. One, Tessa's got a tear running down her face. She said, what's the matter with you, babe? What is it? What's the matter? You okay? You sick? I don't like Cheerios. I said, well, me neither. I say, well, why don't you just fast this week? So if you'll fast, we can stretch this box 2 weeks. Or maybe you'd like to use your faith and choke these skanky things down. Because the sooner they're gone, the sooner we get to Apple Jacks. So the next morning we got the cereal. We're up there eating. John comes in. He's my only male. I got $5. He's my only male. So we got nice little cereal bowls, set the table the night before, getting ready to go to school, eating our cereal breakfast. John comes in with a Tupperware bowl. Like, he got a Tupperware. And then he said, what did he do? Just, no, wait, we got a male. We got some testosterone. Let's see what's going on. So John says that empties a third of a box of Cheerios in that thing and a third of a gallon of milk. I got me a male. Come on. There you go. And so we're eating, talking. I said, okay, I've got to go to school. Let's go. Load up, load up. Everybody loads up in Suburban. Kiss Denise by. I look back over and that bowl of Cheerios. And John is sitting there. I thought, oh, you rascal. You didn't eat those. You faked me off. You're getting rid of them. You think you're getting rid of them. I told Denise, you put a lid on that bowl and you put that in the refrigerator. He's eating that tomorrow. Oh, Joe, they won't be. No, no. If you don't, I'll pre-soak a bowl tonight. Put a lid on it. He's eating every one of those. We got the next morning. I forgot about it. Here comes the girls. They got the little, you know, ceramic bowls. And here comes John with another big Tupperware bowl. Oh, no, son. We got your cereal already. Here, put that back. I went in the refrigerator and got that. And I set that thing down in front of them. They're just locking. And I popped that lid. I love Tupperware. It looks like somebody's puked in that bowl. Those Cheerios are swollen up. I said, you're eating every one of them. And I'd eat them today. Because tomorrow they're going to be worse. Well, he's trying to eat them, and he spews and tears around. I said, quit that. Wipe them up and eat every one of them. And Joe, shut up. I'm going to teach him something. Well, long story short, he said, may I be excused? All right, put a lid on it. You eat them tomorrow. Put a lid on it. So we got double French doors when we eat, and I'm watching. I saw him go to the kitchen. He set the thing on the counter. He opened up the refrigerator door, and it's a reflection of the glass. I can't see it real clear. And all of a sudden, the door shuts, and that bowl's still sitting there. I thought, you better not pour those out. And I'm watching him. What's he doing? All of a sudden, he reached over and took the top off the blender, the lid off the blender, and he took those Cheerios. And then I saw what he got out of the refrigerator. He got the Hershey syrup. He told him, put the lid on that blender. Poured that in a bowl and drunk that. I said, my God, I've raised a genius. I've raised a genius. Because what you got to do is teach your children how to problem solve. So look at this. I'll give you three things. Luke chapter 2. This will bless you. Luke chapter 2. Parenting. Boy, this is a little stretch of parenting. I thought, Lord, what have we done? We've had kids. And I love every one of them, but boy. So, four things. Jesus grew in wisdom, stature, favor with God, and favor with man. Four things apparently. We taught some 300 classes. All those classes fit into one of four categories. Wisdom, stature, favor with God, and favor with man. Jesus grew in wisdom. What do you get when you get wisdom? Long life, riches, and honor. How do you get wisdom? If you fear God, it's the beginning of wisdom. You lack wisdom, you can ask God, he'll give it. Every child needs wisdom. Greatest thing you'll ever pray for your children, Psalm 34:11. Father, I give you permission to teach Sarah, Jessica, Corey, Tessa, Lauren, John. I give you permission to teach them to fear you, for the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. With that wisdom, Proverbs 3:16 comes long life, riches, and honor. I want my kids to be blessed, live long, and bring honor to my name and your name. That's the will of God. It's not automatic, but it is the goal. We start with that. So the first thing is wisdom. It's called having a vision for your life. Proverbs 29:18, where there's no vision, the people perish. Now, guys, I believe in kids having a good time. Don't go goofy and start teaching your kids calculus at age 2. Don't do that stupid stuff. Hey, play. Have a great life. But the thing I do know is you were born, not accidentally, not just as a blessing to mom and I. God has a plan for your life. We're glad you're here. I love you. But God needs you on this planet to do something. You're going to have your life one day, your spouse, your kids, your career, your job to be a blessing. My job's to launch you. That means to love you, feed you, nurture you, correct you, teach you, see that you're in church, your crooked teeth are straight, get your inoculations. My job's to love you by caring for you. Love's not what you feel, it's what you do. Jesus said, don't tell me you love me, show me you love me. You understand? That I love you. That doesn't mean nothing. Yeah, love takes work and effort. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. I used to tell men, before you ever tell your wife you love her again, get out your billfold, your 401k, your checkbook, get out to all your deeds, you get your pickup truck, your hunting dog, your bass boats, your shotguns, your rods and reels. Pile them on the table. Look over the top of that stuff and say, hey, honey, I love you. That's about what it's going to cost you. Because listen to me, if love's not costing you something, it's not love. If love's not costing you some, it's not a feeling, it's what you do. You say you love your kids, you love your kids? I love them biblically, I don't always like them. Sometimes I get mad. You're stupid. I used to tell Denise, where'd they get that? Where did my kids get that? Denise would give me the same answer every time. Go look in the mirror. They're just like you, Joe. Good measure. Press down, shake together. Your kids don't need to grow up, Joe. You do. And she'd always smile. She'd tell me, thank you. I love you. That's incredible. Biggest thing you'll ever do for your child is plant a vision. You do that by getting them in church, going to Sunday school, participate in youth, plant the word of God deep in your child. You get the word again, they'll think different when the word goes in. God loves your children, has a plan. The devil is a liar. He's a thief, a murderer, and a liar. You're stupid. You're ugly. Nobody likes you. You're not popular. You can't make a ball team. You can't sing and chew gum at the same time. He's lying. He'll point out real stuff, but he's lying. No, no. The Bible says you're going to be the head, not the tail, above and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is going to prosper. You're going to be mighty upon this planet. You're going to bring honor to my name. You're going to be filthy, stinking rich. You're going to be a blessed individual. Woo! You're going to storm hell and tear down gates. Yeah. Jesus said, don't tell me you love me. Show me you love me. You understand? That I love you. That doesn't mean nothing. Yeah, love takes work and effort. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. I used to tell men, before you ever tell your wife you love her again, get out your billfold, your 401k, your checkbook, get out to all your deeds, you get your pickup truck, your hunting dog, your bass boat, your shotguns, your rods and reels. Pile them on the table. Look over the top of that stuff and say, hey, honey, I love you. That's about what it's going to cost you. Because listen to me, if love's not costing you something, it's not love. If love's not costing you some, it's not a feeling, it's what you do. You say you love your kids, you love your kids? I love them biblically, I don't always like them. Sometimes I get mad. You're stupid. I used to tell Denise, where'd they get that? Where did my kids get that? Denise would give me the same answer every time. Go look in the mirror. They're just like you, Joe. Good measure. Press down, shake together. Your kids don't need to grow up, Joe. You do. And she'd always smile. She'd tell me, thank you. I love you. That's incredible. Biggest thing you'll ever do for your child is plant a vision. You do that by getting them in church, going to Sunday school, participate in youth, plant the word of God deep in your child. You get the word again, they'll think different when the word goes in. God loves your children, has a plan. The devil is a liar. He's a thief, a murderer, and a liar. You're stupid. You're ugly. Nobody likes you. You're not popular. You can't make a ball team. You can't sing and chew gum at the same time. He's lying. Now, he'll point out real stuff, but he's lying. No. No. The Bible says you're going to be the head, not the tail, above and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is going to prosper. You're going to be mighty upon this planet. You're going to bring honor to my name. You're going to be filthy, stinking rich. You're going to be a blessed individual. Woo! You're going to storm hell and tear down gates. People said that, well, that's just a positive confession. No, that's biblically speaking. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You understand? Even when Gideon, remember Gideon's going to have to fight that army? And God says, hey, are you scared, Gideon? Uh-huh. Come here, I'll show you something. And they snuck down to the tent. He let them listen to the enemy talk. Gosh, we're afraid of them. They may whip us. And the angel says, see that? They're afraid of you. I'm with you. Take your 300 and go whip somebody. David running down the hill to kill Goliath. He's yelling. He's a typical teenager. He's yelling the whole way down because he knows something. He knows the word of God. He spends his time not only picking fleas off sheep and killing lions and bears. He's singing and worshiping God. He knows God. He knows this thing down here. Goliath is not a human. He's a half-breed between a fallen angel and a human. He's 10 foot 2 inches tall, 6 fingers, 6 toes. He's not normal. That's why those angels are now chained up and under the Euphrates River. God had to chain them up. They were starting to copulate. It was crazy. And so David knows he's not real. Somebody sling something, he'll die. He's dishonoring God. That's not right. He shouldn't be challenging God. He's challenging us. He's challenging God. Somebody, I'll kill him. You arrogant teenager. No, I'll kill him. Trust me. You kidding? You'll kill him? Oh, yeah. I'll kill him dead. This is a teenager bringing cheese sandwiches to his brothers who are already yelling at him. But I love being a teenage male because he said, well, okay, we'll let you kill him. He said, well, before I do want to ask, is there any reward? I mean, I'm going to kill him anyhow because it's not right. But if there's anything you get for killing him, I want to sign up. Well, yeah, your daddy gets a big bag of money and marry the king's daughter. Well, where do I sign? And they ran down that hill yelling at Goliath. And it's a short hill. If you've ever been there, it is just a ridge. It's not even a mountain. It's a ridge. He kind of, you big overgrown, I'm going to take your head off, eat you to the buzzards. He's a typical teenager. Goliath is so like, what is this? And he turns to the guy who carries the spear, because it's a stinking big. Goliath's got here. When he turned around, that rock hit him between eyeballs. And he fell over dead. David chopped his head off, took it home, because there were no trophy shops back then. He just took his head home. Look what I won, Mom. We're going to talk about that in the morning. Anyhow, plan a vision to do something. I got 6 kids, no 2 are the same. Sarah's a straight-A student in college, and she got a master's and her doctorate. She's straight A's. That doesn't make her holy. Doesn't mean she tells the truth or keeps her room clean. She's gifted. It's not a hell thing. It's a gift. Your gift makes room for you. Jessica, to get that same A, have to study 2 and 3 hours a night. But Jessica's an all-state basketball player. Sarah can go from one end of the court to the other and keep the ball with her. But she became captain because she was smart. So she'd get in the right place. She'd just get it somebody else quit. No 2 kids are the same. All of our kids are ours. No 2 are the same. Some are gifted more than others. Some can sing. Some we don't want to. When Sarah goes to church, I've told her, don't you open your mouth. Move your lips and say, watermelon, watermelon, watermelon. Don't you let anything come out of your mouth. Everybody's going to be staring at you instead of the praise and worship thing because she couldn't hit a note if she was staring at it. But she loves to sing, doesn't she? She worships when she works out. Like, oh my God, she's in the garage working out and I love you. Whoa, you are not gifted in that area. Anyhow, it's your gift that will make room for you. So don't feel bad about what you're not good at. Find out what you are good at and chase it. So help your kids figure out. Plan a vision. You do that by getting in church, getting the word in them, and say what God says. Now, if they're messed up, tell them. You don't lie to them. Hey, your room's a stinking mess. Whoa. But the Bible says the hand of the diligent bears rule. The hand of the diligent thinking about plenty of soul. The diligent made fat. Here's your list of stuff to do. You're about to get diligent. Praise God. I'm excited. Plan of vision. Number 2. So Jesus grew in stature. This is where you get discipline. This is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1-4. Children, obey your parents, the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment. And promise it'll be well with you and you'll live long. You need 3 things. Let's give you 4 to raise your kids. You need rules, regulations, rewards, and punishments. Ephesians 6, 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You get more than 2 people together, need a policy manual. What are the rules for this house? Doesn't mean they're right, but what are the rules? I have 3 rules for my house. I've had them 30 years. One time they were on poster board, stuck to the ceiling above every bed of my kid. They wake up, what's that? That's a piece of poster board with the 3 rules written in a black magic marker. You go to the bathroom, they were written on the corner of the bathroom mirror. You go to the refrigerator in the kitchen, they're in front of the refrigerator. And for about 3 years, they were duct taped and laminated under every toilet seat lid. You lift up a toilet seat lid, there are the 3 rules to my house. I have covered everywhere you're going today. Don't violate these three rules. Otherwise, have a great time. No talking back to your mom and dad. No telling a lie. No fighting with your brothers and sisters. You do one of that in the state of Oklahoma, I'm one of five states left. You do that, I'll swat you. It's legal in my state. I can swat you. It's legal. If I leave a bruise, that's a misdemeanor. It's a one-year jail sentence and a $10,000 fine. I don't want to abuse my kids, but I do need to discipline them. And so I believe in spanking, but I have to say this. My last four, 80 years of living between the four of them, in 80 years, I gave three swats. In 80 years. It's not something you do. On beach. No. You're missing the point. You got to train them, not beat them.
You know, for the last 24 years, we've been traveling all over America teaching on the family. I always believed when I was working as an engineer in the electrical industry years ago that one day God would use us. You know, having six kids, you know, some people think, well, you sure have a lot of kids. Well, we liked them. We really did. You know, we came from families of 12. My dad had 12 brothers and sisters, and my father-in-law had 12 brothers and sisters. So big families are just fun. It was what we did for entertainment. You know, if you have fun, find a family member. You want to start a fight, find a family member. It was just what we did. So my wife and I got married. We thought we'd like to have a big family. So we went with half, with six. And so I tell people having six kids won't make you holy or famous. Might make you insane and broke if you don't know what to do when they show up. But God is into the family. It's the first thing he made. And if you read in Genesis 1, 2, and 3, it's the first thing he lost. When Adam and Eve sinned, they got fired from the job, evicted from the house, and their kids started killing each other. But God had a plan for the family. He had a plan through his son coming to earth. And so all of a sudden, once we had the silent night, holy night, we three kings and more in our story, we now have hope. God is rebuilding the family. You know, there's a passage in Isaiah 61, God said he would revive, repair, restore, rebuild the family. And so that's what we do. We hold seminars, about 80 seminars all over the country, teaching on marriage, parenting, men, money, anything to do with the home. Because, man, the pressure is picked up. You know, I remember when I got out of high school, gasoline was 25 cents a gallon. We could rent a house for $55 a month. I mean, things got expensive. Things changed. And boy, the pressures build up. Now almost every family's got having to have two incomes to make it. And we got a lot of single parent families today. But God has not lost us. He said in the last days, he would pour out his spirit on all flesh. The man, things are going to happen in our families. And I believe it's happening right now, but it happens through the knowledge of his word. So what we do is we teach. And we call this a laugh and learn experience. People come out and we have seminars on, again, every area of the home, you know, whether it's your financial life or your married life. You know, we used to kid and say, you know, marriage is nothing more than two ignorant people growing up together. It's just a fun time. Kids, you know, once you have, you can't take them back. It's not like you buy something at Walmart, you can go return it. They're going to be with us forever. And God knew that. He said to train them up and to teach them. So what we found out, there is a method, believe it or not, to having a great family. Said in 1 Peter 3 that you and I all have the kind of family that makes somebody else jealous. Listen, guys, there's no perfect families. I don't have a perfect family. Got a good one. The Bible says the righteous fall seven times a day and they get back up. We're not the perfect people. We're the getting back up people. We learn how to repent quick, forgive quick, and get back up. God promised us that he'd satisfy us with a lot of things. With long life will I satisfy you, show you my salvation. Length of days will be in your hand. Riches and honor will be in the other. God's promised some great stuff. Well, why don't we see it? Well, because we live on an alien planet. Satan is the legal god of this planet. He got it when he stole it from Adam and Eve in the garden. The thing is, we don't belong to him anymore. If you're a born-again believer, I belong to the kingdom of God. I've been taken out of the kingdom of darkness. Thing is, if you don't know that, the devil's a liar. He'll mess with you. So what we do seminars in our Faith for Families ministry on marriage, parenting, and men. We got a great publishing company, Stone Bluff Publishing, putting out printed material that puts hope back in the lives of people, tells you how to live life according to the word of God and be a success. And then, of course, now we have Fighting for Families Radio, where we're going to try to cover America with hope, because that's what we need. Hope and deferred, the Bible says, makes the heart sick. And that's what people are lacking. So we go in and we have open sessions. We'll start off usually with the first session about what the problem was. You know, in our first session on marriage, we talk about the differences in men and women. When I married my wife, I thought, my goodness, I've married somebody just like me. Man, we like the same food, the same John Wayne movies. We like the same everything, the same movies. It didn't take about 3 months in our marriage. We realized, oh, my goodness, I've married my absolute total opposite. We couldn't agree on anything. And man, all of a sudden, 3 years in our marriage, we're ready for a divorce. I hated her guts and she hated mine. And what happened? Well, we married the wrong person. I either married too early or too late or something. And I realized, no, according to the word of God, I married my exact opposite. Nobody explained that to me when I got married. You know, when God made the creation, everything he made was good. Everything was good. Good, 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 very good. The first time God said, not good, he was looking at a man. He's looking at Adam. And all of a sudden Adam said, what did you say? God said, not good. Adam said, what's not good? You. What's not good? He said, you're alone. I'm going to make you a helper. So God made a woman. Now, I don't know if you know this or not. When God made a woman, he made something better. You know, the average woman's got a higher IQ. She's got a better immune system. She has a bigger vocabulary. She's got better manual dexterity. When God made a woman to help man, he made something better. My wife's smart where I'm not smart, talented where I'm not talented. I'm smart where she's not smart. I'm talented where she's not talented. That's why the Bible says two are better than one. Now, we didn't know that. We thought, well, we never get along. We never get along. That's because you never see the problem with the same viewpoint. You know, when we got married, we realized something. Denise and I, we just never agreed on anything. And it wasn't until we got in the Word of God, we realized, oh, this is how God set it up. Two are better than one. If any two shall get in agreement on anything, it'll be done of our Father which is in heaven. If one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. We realized the power of two. Not because we saw the problem the same, but because we saw it different. You know, the Bible says there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. Why? Because you agree? No. I see something you don't see. I heard something you don't hear. If we two can get together, we're going to become a problem-solving machine. That's what a marriage is. A marriage is a problem-solving machine. Then God said children were his reward. I remember sitting in a class one time when I heard that scripture. Children are a reward from the Lord. I thought, man, that's the worst thing I ever heard. There's no way that can be true. We've got six of them. I don't see a rewarded thing about it. Man, they were costing us money before they ever came out of the womb. And then once they came out of the womb, they cost more money. Man, they're tearing stuff up, flushing stuff they shouldn't, not flushing stuff they should, trying to get them to pass algebra and diagram a sentence. Like, when are you going to leave home? God said, no, I'm going to give them to you, and I'm going to let you train them up. Then eventually you're going to give them back to me, and I'm going to do something great with them. It's a great honor to parent. It's a privilege to parent. It's work to parent. But God's told us how to do it throughout the Word of God. He tells us how to teach and to train. He said, our children, Psalms 112, verse 1 through 3, will bring great honor to our name. Great honor. Not embarrassed. You ever been embarrassed as a parent? I have. Like, what happened? My God, what's wrong with them? Well, I remember my wife told me one time, I says, what's wrong with our kids? And my wife said, go look in the mirror. They're just like you, Joe. And I realized something. Like kind reproduces like kind. As a parent, I don't need my kids to grow up. I needed to grow up. And that's why the local church is the most powerful thing on this planet. It's in the local church that iron strikes iron. It's in a local church where you sit under a pastor and you learn the Word of God. It's in a local church you fellowship with other saints. You get to be a blessing and help people as much as you get help. And there's where you start growing in the grace and knowledge. You know, when I got married, I wasn't perfect. My wife wasn't perfect. We're still not there. We've been married 44 years. We're still growing. I still get to know her every day. She gets to know me. But man, what an adventure. Second greatest thing next to salvation is finding a spouse. It is a great blessing. I love growing older with my spouse. I love my kids. Now that they're adults and out of the house, I love fellowship with my kids. We still don't agree on everything, but we're all growing in God. And I'm telling you, it's a great thing God's doing. So what we're doing here at Faith for Families and Fighting for Families Radio, building families, putting them back together, giving them the tools they need to have a happy, successful, prosperous, long marriage and long life.
Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday through Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Make sure you go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you. Your marriage and your family succeed.